Greetings, Iowa. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. About 10 years ago, my son and I first started watching Bob Benyart live on television. At first I thought, what's wrong with this guy? He would quote from the Bible and I'd think, that's not in the Bible. So I got my Bible and I looked. You know what? I was wrong. I didn't know things like God sought to kill Moses. Did you? I soon realized Bob had an understanding of the Bible that I wanted, along with the boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise. So I purchased a plot and a video, and I began to support this ministry. The first time I met Bob in person was in 1999, a few days after my son Dan was murdered at Columbine High School. I am so thankful that I had a biblically correct understanding of God and His Word at that time. I hope you will enjoy this show and join with me in supporting Bob Benyart Live. I want to encourage you to buy the plot and read it. And if you don't love it, I'll personally refund your money. Thank you.
One morning, there's truth of ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And the U.S. Supreme Court today ruled in favor of abortion protesters, of all people. Is it a victory? Well, we don't call these things a victory because our court system is broken. It's a random event in a mindless system. But Joe Shidler, the defendant in the case, has now won repeatedly the same case at the U.S. Supreme Court. And later in the program, we will be speaking to Joe Shidler live right here on Bob Benyart Live, and I think you'll enjoy that and you want to hang around to hear it. Now, our telethon is over today, and it is so exciting. Yesterday, Bob Benyart Live began airing in Iowa, Des Moines, Ames, Boone, Iowa, on KFFF, and we didn't mention the telethon on that show because it was our first day. We didn't want to try to get money out of our brand new listeners. That would be tacky. But today I can announce the great success of the telethon. We had a $10,000 goal, and we beat the goal by 36%. We took in over $13,000. So we're just thrilled. Thank you all so very much. And it was 22 states, by the way. 22 states gave. And in fact, I'd like to tell you which states they were. And Austria. Austria. And then here in America, Alaska, Alabama, Arizona. This gives you an idea of where people are listening to Bob Benyart Live. Okay, Austria, California, Colorado came in first place, by the way, Connecticut, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, New Jersey, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. Wow, that is so, we're just thrilled. Thank you, those of you in the audience. So Colorado came in first place. They took the gold, and Indiana the silver, and Connecticut, in an upset appearance, took the bronze. So thank you all very much. All right, news. Let's see, what's in the news bag today? Four Disney workers were accused of gang raping a woman who was walking home to her apartment from the Disney College program. And this is what happens when the culture generally becomes immoral. Then you have military officers at the Air Force Academy, or you have Abu Ghraib. You have the Howard Stern front on the war on terror at Abu Ghraib, where people sexually humiliated prisoners. And you have things like this, Disney workers accused of gang raping a woman. That's why when our culture becomes increasingly immoral, we all pay, we all suffer. What's the next news? Out of Reuters, half of Europe is fat. Half of Europe is fat. Now, remember when we were told, boy, Americans are fat and Europeans are nice and thin and they don't go for fast food. It's like they were more noble than we were. Well, they were poor, poor. They were poor. They could not afford to go to the restaurant. They couldn't afford to go to fast food. And now as prosperity is increasing in Europe and Japan, They're getting fatter. It's a problem. Prosperity needs to be managed. When a nation becomes prosperous, it has to deal with a whole new set of problems. Okay, what else? Oh, the Girl Scout cookie sales. Girl Scouts of America, you know, they recently bestowed a gift to the Planned Parenthood chief executive, Pam Smallwood. They gave her the title Woman of the Year. So that's why we Knicks support for the Girl Scouts of America. They're pro-lesbian, pro-abortion, and instead we support American Heritage Girls. And in fact, at Denver Bible Church in Colorado, we meet at a Christian school, Maranatha Christian Center, and that school has a chapter of American Heritage Girls meeting there in Arvada, Colorado. All right, what else? Oh, Des Moines. Oh, boy, Des Moines. Des Moines, Iowa. This woman faked her own death to avoid paying traffic tickets. Of all things, traffic tickets. You know, traffic tickets, they're misdemeanors in the system we have. And faking your own death and forgery, that's a felony. So her name is Kimberly Dew, 36 years old. Kimberly Dew. Uh-oh. Now Kimberly Dew could do 5 years in prison because she tried to get out of a misdemeanor by committing a felony. That wasn't very bright. She said she died on December 5th, and then in January she was stopped for another traffic ticket, and they figured out she wasn't dead. How does that go? Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Die twice in Des Moines. You're in big trouble. So she's in big trouble. And so she could do 5 years. Kimberly Dew could do 5 years. But imagine what that would cost taxpayers. What, a couple $100,000? You know what we should do? Prison is not biblical, but flogging is biblical, and it's way cheaper. It's more effective, and it's biblical. Okay. What else? Oh, in New Jersey, where I grew up, two students at Eagleswood Elementary School. Oh, brother, this is just devastating. Some of the kids at this school are upset. Their parents are upset because they had a teacher there, Mr. Macbeth, and the teacher went through a sex change operation, and now the teacher is back in school. So it was Mr. Macbeth. Now it's Lady Macbeth. Miss Macbeth, M-C-B-E-T-H, in Eagleswood Township. So Mr. Macbeth had a sex change operation, and you couldn't get more ugly than this picture of Lady Macbeth in the paper. You couldn't. This is approaching coyote ugly. This is coyote ugly. You know, I remember when I was a guest debating a homosexual downtown Denver at an FM radio station, and we're getting ready to go on the air, and I'm in the room with the host of the show and the homosexual. And the homosexual, it's a guy who had a sex change operation. He's like, and now he looks like a woman, but he looks like a guy. Boy, was he ugly. And he had a big pop, like a Diet Coke, and he spilled it, like a big gulp, on the whole table in the studio. And here's what he did. Now, that he's like in a panic, right, because the show's about to start, and he just made a mess. So he took his purse, and he opened it up, and he put it next to the side of the table. Our friends were with us, Art and Alice Risley. And Alice Risley was watching in horror as this guy began to scoop the pop into his purse. He was scooping the pop into his purse. So we were able to point out, look, you might have had an operation, and there might be some kind of a clerical error on your driver's license that they think you're a woman. But no woman in the world would put pop in her purse. You are not a woman. You are a guy. You're a guy. And coyote ugly comes to mind when you look at these guys who say they're women. And now what? They go in the ladies' room? The restroom? It's just too bizarre. It's wrong. It's gross. It's immoral. You know, God doesn't want a man to dress like a woman. In the Bible, he doesn't want a guy to dress up and pretend he's a woman because that's crossing a boundary. God made us male and female. He made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So that's so very important. And it's just tragic how this will confuse these children, right? These children, this is in the Eagleswood Elementary School, where the teacher everyone knew as Mr. Macbeth is now Lady Macbeth. Well, it doesn't say Lady Macbeth in this AP story, this Associated Press story. It says Miss Macbeth. And it's just gross. It's gross. These poor kids. So some of the parents said that they were appalled, like Steve Bond. He said, I am appalled to have this issue brought into my child's psychology. So, but you know what? For the most part, this actually is a good thing for good parents. Because for good parents, this is a sign. Hey, you were confused. You thought your child was safe in the public school system, but they'll put a transvestite in the class with your little Johnny. So in Eagleswood Elementary School, where a male teacher, Mr. Macbeth, has now returned to the classroom as after a sex change operation as Miss Macbeth, or as we call him, Lady Macbeth, it's another sign of the times, and it's a warning. Consider taking your kids out of the public schools because they're harmful to your kids' health. All right, so today the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of pro-life protesters. The Pro-Life Action League out of Chicago, which is led by Joseph Scheidler, years ago, we've been on the air for 15 years, and years ago we had Joseph Scheidler on this program, and he won. He won today, which is exciting, but I thought he won before. Same case. So let's go now to Joe Scheidler. Joe, welcome to Bubba Neert Live.
Thanks.
It's so good to have you on, and what a great day. So, Joe, you won this case yet again. Could you explain that to the audience?
I wish I could. We won it 8-1 3 years ago, and we thought it was over. And when the case came down, as it is supposed to do, through the appellate court, through the trial court, then you get your property back and you get your injunctions removed. That's the way it always works.
And they're supposed to dismiss it then.
That's right. Then it's dismissed. It's over with. They can't sue you again on the same charges. But this time, the abortion attorneys had friends on the appellate court. They held it in the appellate court long enough that the appellate court then ruled that we were still racketeers because the Supreme Court had overlooked what they called four predicate acts. They couldn't point out what the predicate acts were. These were acts of some kind of mischief that they said we had done.
In other words, and, Joe, could I just explain to the audience, the original case brought scores of specific examples of how they said you guys were committing crimes, racketeering against the abortion clinic industry. And so the Supreme Court looked at all that, and in 2003 they said, look, this is not racketeering. You can't use the Hobbs Act. This is protesting, free speech, whatever it is, it's not racketeering. So they threw it out. And so the Planned Parenthood, and often Planned Parenthood hires the spouses of judges at all levels all over the country.
And in this case, it was the National Organization for Women.
The NOW. Thank you for the clarification. And so they said, well, there were four other instances where we think it does qualify for RICO. So the lower courts just ignored the Supreme Court and said, we're keeping this thing alive.
Right. And it had to go back to the trial court where we had lost. And we had no interest in going back to the trial court. So we appealed to the Supreme Court to take another look at it. And got cert, which is very unusual, you know, to get certiorari three times is not easy. And we did go back to the Supreme Court in November, and they said, what are the four predicate acts? Well, now attorneys could not find what they were. They said they aren't any four specific acts. And even Justice Ginsburg, who is not necessarily pro-life, said, I've read this case over and over, and I can't find four predicate acts. Besides, we said all the acts are dismissed, and the attorneys said that all depends on what you mean by all, and the court erupted in laughter because it was shades of what does is mean. What is the meaning of is?
Yeah, what is the meaning of is, which, by the way, the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Arkansas, their dictionary on exhibit is forever open to the entry for the definition of the word is.
Very good.
But anyway, well, so they said all doesn't mean all in this case, and they're talking to the Supreme Court, which issued the ruling, and they laughed.
And Justice Roberts said, we know what all means. It means all. And that was kind of the little message we needed, that the court was not happy with this return by the National Organization for Women.
All right.
So the 8-0 is good. O'Connor couldn't vote because she has left the court, and Alito couldn't vote because he's new and had not heard the oral arguments.
Right. So there was 8. Okay. Right. Now, Joe, so you won after 20 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But, you know, our courts in America, they can't figure out that to kill an unborn child is wrong. They can't figure that out. They think as long as you follow the process, cross your T's and dot your I's, then we will uphold even partial birth abortion or any extreme form of child killing. We'll uphold it because we care more about the process than do not murder. But since I have this opportunity to have one of the leaders from all these decades, one of the leaders of the pro-life movement on the show, can you tell us why is abortion wrong? Why?
Because it's murder. It's the unjust taking of an innocent human life, and that translates to murder.
Mm-hmm.
The unborn child is a human person.
Right.
There's no question about that. We have all kinds of science now that tries to clone and tries to use embryonic stem cells. We know when life begins. It begins at the conception. And so abortion at any time, early or later, is the taking of an innocent human life, has done nothing wrong, and yet is executed under the state. It's an atrocity. It has got to stop. And we're fighting for a total ban of abortion. We're hoping not only that Roe v. Wade is overturned, but that the states outlaw abortions of every kind, and that's what we're working for.
Yeah, and preferably the federal government, just like they wouldn't allow any state to legalize owning blacks or killing Jews or raping women, preferably the federal government would say no child within our jurisdiction, the entire United States of America, no child can be intentionally killed through abortion. So
right.
we fight this at every possible level on every front, but ultimately our government should not allow any state to kill unborn children.
I agree totally. And that's part of what's going to happen now with this weight off our shoulders and the shoulders of other pro-life activists. I think more people will be going out to the abortion mills where these atrocities take place and talking to the women. We're very, very successful out on the streets.
Very, very good
point. At one abortion clinic in Brooklyn, we talked 35 women out of abortions one day.
Wow. Now, that abortion clinic obviously is a massive operation, right?
Oh, yeah. They had over 70 patients that day, but we had half of them leave the abortion clinic without their abortion.
That's extraordinary. Joe, I pastor Denver Bible Church, and the pro-life community in Denver, Ken and Joe Scott, attend our church, and they're some of the leaders at our local Planned Parenthood in Denver. And we count confirmed saves when a mother speaks to us and says, I've changed my mind. Now, there are many others where women turn away when they see the protest. But
right.
Last year, and we count from Roe v. Wade Day every year in January, last year, 104 babies were confirmed saved at one abortion clinic in Denver because a handful of pro-life Christians, people who honor God and know murder, they go there every day. Some only come once a week or once a month, but they go and babies are saved.
That is tremendous. Well, my hat's off to them. I've been to a couple of your clinics in Denver. In fact, I was arrested in Denver and held in your very comfortable jail there one night.
That was in the 80s, wasn't it?
That's right, way back when.
Yeah, that's
right. We've been at this now 33 years. And but I see a lot of good things happening, and some of the states now, like South Dakota, Georgia, and others, are starting to pass some laws you wouldn't have seen get through a few years ago.
Yeah, so we'll of course, see what's happening. We're going to follow it very closely. But, Joe Scheidler, I'm just ecstatic to have you on the show, really. The fact that you won this case has got to be an enormous relief to you. But you know how the media reports this as a victory for pro-lifers? And when we've won in court in Denver, we had over 100 cases where we were charged with disturbing the peace or whatever. We won, mostly in jury trials, 104 cases almost in a row consecutively. And we brought a federal lawsuit saying under color of law, they are using the law to try to harass us. And by the way, the federal courts disagreed, and we didn't get anywhere with that. But when we do win in –
Jeannie Hill had a great – was that case?
Jeannie Hill, that's right. Jeannie Hill. She carried a sign that said the killing place.
Right.
And Planned Parenthood tried to stop her.
Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood, right.
That's right. And she said, look, you guys are killing babies, and my sign says the killing place. And she won her case. So the courts tend to be supportive of free speech, but we never call these victories because these are the courts that say you can kill innocent children. So we prefer to think of this as a random event in a mindless system.
Okay.
Like a broken clock is right twice a day. So we won today, and we're thrilled that the weight is off your shoulders, Joe.
Well, we're going to keep up the same programs that we've had. They're very effective. We'll be out at the abortion clinics on Thursday when I get back from this trip. And I'm very optimistic about this thing. I think the whole mood in the country is changing. People don't like abortion. Mm. They know it's wrong.
So, Joe Scheidler, we're about out of time. How about, for this segment, how about a website? We have a new affiliate just came on board this week in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. And there are people out there who might want to learn more about the Pro-Life Action League.
Well, it's prolifeaction.org. Just leave the league off, prolifeaction.org. And we have a lot of links, a lot of information on there. And I'd like for people to sign on. Because we want to organize. We're having a group of the reorganizing in the spring plan, Pro Life Action Network. Mm. We had one of our conferences in Denver. It's and so they can read about that on the Action News or the prolifeaction.org very soon when we get it all organized.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Scheidler, just to bring you up to date, you might not have heard Operation Save America. You know, that's the remnant of OR, right? Operation Rescue.
Right, Operation Rescue.
Yeah, and Flip Benham, the executive director, they had their national event here in Denver last July for a week, and we had about 300 pro-life Christians out, a tremendous time, and now they're headed to Mississippi this July in Jackson, Mississippi. You know that public TV special, The Last Abortion Clinic?
Yes.
And so they decided we're going to Mississippi, and we're going to target that last freestanding abortion clinic in the state of Mississippi.
That was a clinic that belonged to the chain of clinics that were suing us along with Now, Susan Hill's Abortion Mills. And so I may be down and join that one.
Well, that would be great. I'm glad we let you know. We'll make sure, Joe, in fact, we'll get you an invitation to speak if we can.
Okay, I'd love to. You know, there are four states now that have only one abortion mill.
Let's see, North Dakota, I'm guessing.
South Dakota and Mississippi and I think Arkansas. I'm not sure about Arkansas, but I think it always down to one.
All right. Well, we need a abortion-free zone that we can have a base and work from there.
That's right. And how about abortion-free country?
Amen. And then the world.
Okay. Yeah, right.
All right. Joe Scheidler, thank you so very much.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome. God bless you and congratulations.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Joe Scheidler, National Director of the Pro-Life Action League. And we could take your calls at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Now, Bob and Yart Live is archived on the Internet indefinitely. So that today we had Joe Scheidler on the program. Now, let me make this clear. This is valuable. Bob and Yart Live is archived on the Internet indefinitely. So that, for example, last week, James Dobson was promoting a bill in Colorado, 166, that allows unmarried people to live together, including homosexuals, and it gives them benefits. And then if a homosexual couple is married in Massachusetts and they move to Colorado, they get recognized as reciprocal partners in Colorado and they get some benefits. And so many Christians opposed that and were sad that Focus on the Family was supporting it. And so James Dobson went on his broadcast and was critical of a couple people specifically, Dr. Paul Cameron and Andrew Longman. And so what we did last week was we had the author of the Senate bill, Sean Mitchell, on the show. And then we had Andrew Longman on, whom Dr. Dobson had criticized. And then we had Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute on the program. So key people involved with the news of the day coming on to talk about what's happening from a biblical perspective. And then it's all archived. So when there are important events happening in the news, you can catch it live on Bob Inert Live. Or if you missed it, just go to our website, kgov.com, and you could listen to the event, whatever Fox News is covering, but you'll listen to it from a Christian biblical perspective. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so hold on. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inert Live and kgov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
Back, Bob Inert Live, 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. So neat to talk to Joe Scheidler the day he won his victory yet again at the U.S. Supreme Court against the forces of evil, against the NOW and the pro-abortion, the abortion industry in Colorado. Now let's go to the phones. And in Des Moines, listening on KFFF, Jacob, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Hey, Bob, thanks for putting me on. It's so good to have people like you on who will give us the news with a Christian worldview spin on it.
Thank you, Jacob.
To listen to the garbage in the mainstream media, but I'll get right to my point.
Yeah.
With this thing going on in South Dakota with the legislature, they're banning abortion.
Yes.
Do you think that this is the way that the Christians can take back the abortion issue and kind of overrule the courts in this battle against abortion? Do we need to do this state by state?
Well,
is
doing
this the next wave?
You know, I discussed that briefly with Joe Scheidler just a few minutes ago, but state by state if we have to, but that's not the right way, but that is a way we may have to fight the battle. When you're fighting a war, you end up fighting on all different fronts, and you don't always fight on the fronts you want to fight on. So here's how it should work properly. No government has the authority from God to decriminalize any crime. For example, no government could rightly say now kidnapping is legal, or now rape is legal, or now murder is legal, or you could kill Jews or own blacks. No government has the right to do that. So that the federal government should not allow any state to say you can now rape women in New York, or you could now kill babies in California.
Right.
So our judges, they made an unlawful and a wicked ruling that you can kill unborn babies. And so now, sadly, many of our Christian leaders say that the lower court judges should follow, they should abide by that unlawful and immoral and wicked ruling of Roe v. Wade, and they defend judges who uphold abortion because they say they're doing their job.
Right.
But that's terrible that our Christian leaders say that because they become moral relativists. So okay. We do have to fight in South Dakota and in Colorado and in Iowa to try to pass laws to outlaw abortion. But at the same time, we should work for an amendment to the federal constitution, a human life amendment, protecting life from fertilization until natural death.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Bob.
You're very welcome, Jacob. God bless you. Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Dr. Henry Morris died, and we're so sad to hear that. Dr. Henry Morris is one of the fathers, well, he is the father, really, of the modern creation science movement. The creation movement, you know, our favorite organizations fighting against evolution and presenting science truthfully and biblically is Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, and the Creation Research Society. They have over 600 degreed scientists, advanced degrees, masters, and PhDs in the sciences as voting members of Creation Research Society. And then there's the Institute for Creation Research, ICR, founded by Dr. Henry Morris. And then there's Dr. Walt Brown. He got his degree in engineering from MIT, and he taught at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs for many years. And his fabulous book, In the Beginning, which, by the way, we offer here at Bob and Yurt Live, it's one of the few third-party products that we offer because it's so fabulous for understanding creation and being able to refute evolution and understanding the flood. Where did the water come from? Where did it go? It's just a great book, In the Beginning by Dr. Walt Brown. Well, Henry Morris is the Copernicus. He's the Nikolai Copernicus of the creation movement. Remember all the Christians who refuted the pagan Greek cosmology when Aristotle thinks that the sun revolves around the earth? No, the sun doesn't revolve around the earth, but Aristotle argued that it did, and he gave his proof, his argument. He said, well, obviously the earth is standing still because if you throw something up in the air, it comes down in the same spot. And if the earth was moving around the sun, you throw a rock up in the air and it would come down to the side because the earth would be moving. He didn't realize Galileo figured out the law of the addition of velocities, and the rock is moving at the same speed as the earth. So it falls back down straight to the earth. So at any rate, the Christians were pegged for being foolish because the church, it's claimed that the church taught that the sun revolved around, orbited around the earth. And in reality, the church was heavily influenced by pagan Greeks like Plato and Aristotle, Neoplatonic thought. And so it's the Greeks' fault. And the church was influenced by the pagan Greeks. And today, the unbelievers and skeptics, they say, oh, the church, they were fools. They believe that the sun went around the earth. Well, it was the Greeks who taught that to the world, and it was the Christians in Judeo-Christian Europe that taught that the sun goes around the earth, Copernicus, and then Johann Kepler and Isaac Newton, Galileo. These guys figured out what gravity is, what light is, and it was Christians who helped the world get on with modern science. And some of them were strong Christians, and many of the fathers of the natural sciences rejected evolution even after Darwin. It's really interesting. Okay. So our phone number, 800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. Feel free to call in and talk about whatever we've discussed on the show so far, the news stories, or the interview with Joseph Scheidler. And if you'd like to say a few words of gratitude to the family of Dr. Henry Morris, feel free. I believe that Henry Morris is the Copernicus of the creation movement and that Dr. Walt Brown is the Isaac Newton of the movement. Okay. And so that's why we offer his book, In the Beginning. And by the way, if you call into Bob and Yurt Live to get on the air, at 800-836-9278, then you could also call that same number to, for example, order a video like our Christian Political Strategy, Focus on the Strategy, or this book by Dr. Walt Brown, In the Beginning. Okay. Now, Joe Scheidler mentioned the states that had only one abortion clinic, and he was naming them because we said that in July, Operation Save America is targeting Jackson, Mississippi, because of the public TV special called The Last Abortion Clinic, in which they went to that state and interviewed the pro-life leaders and the abortion clinic. And they said that's the last abortion clinic there. And so OSA, their executive director, his name is Flip Benham, they have targeted now Jackson, Mississippi because of that TV program. So in July, hundreds of pro-lifers from around the country will converge on Jackson and focus on doing activism, holding signs in the street, speaking to women who are going to get an abortion, trying to convince them not to kill their unborn child, trying to do interviews in the media, which undoubtedly will happen. For example, a pro-lifer goes in the media and a liberal will complain and say, you know, you're even against abortion for rape and incest. And we say, yes, we're against killing the baby and protecting the rapist. You see, we believe you should kill the rapist and love and protect the baby. But a liberal will kill the baby and protect the rapist. So liberals are confused, but it's more than just confusion. It's evil. It's sinful. Jesus Christ said that the world is against God. The world is at enmity against God. And narrow is the way, and few are they that seek the Lord and find everlasting life. And broad is the way, and wide, and many are those who are going to hell because they want to go to hell because they don't care about God. And each of us, you, will decide, do I care about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me and being raised from the dead? And hopefully you will care. And if you tuned into the show accidentally and you're just living your life, falling through time and space, watching sports, watching sitcoms, you know, sports, fine, it's fun. But a lot of people sort of, they medicate themselves. They self-medicate themselves, and they just fall through time and space, not thinking about their lives, reality, eternity. So if you're one of those people who found this show by accident, well, then I hope you'll consider that there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is. There is absolute right and absolute wrong, and there could only be right and wrong if there's more than the material universe. Because atoms and molecules, there's no such thing as right and wrong, right? You mix up atoms and molecules in a test tube, do it forever. You're not going to get joy or bitterness or envy or peace or love. You're just going to get atoms and molecules. So consider that there is right and wrong. There is truth. There is right and wrong. And there could only be right from wrong if there is more than a material universe. And there is. Because the physical universe could not have been here forever, because there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. If you think there is, that's embarrassing scientifically. There's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine because the usable energy is used up. It's expended. That's it. You can't reuse the same energy to do the same thing. So all the stars in the universe would burn up. And if the universe was trillions of years old, it'd be cold. 0 degrees Kelvin. But it's not. It's hot. It's burning, which says it's young. And a rock or a fire cannot create itself. So the universe could not have made itself from nothing. And it cannot have always been here. So those are the first and second laws of thermodynamics. A rock cannot make itself from nothing. And a fire cannot burn forever. So the universe could not have made itself from nothing. That's silly. And it could not have been here forever. That's silly. And so the only scientific, rational, logical explanation for the origin of the universe is that the universe, the physical universe, was brought into existence or created by a supernatural creator. The natural universe had a supernatural creator. That's the only conceivable explanation for the existence of the universe. And so Henry Morris, what a hero. And those at ICR and those around the creation movement around the world will mourn his passing. but rejoice that he is with the Lord. And I'm sure Ken Ham will do a wonderful job of thanking ICR and Henry Morris for reinvigorating or really starting the modern creation movement. Okay, 800-8 Enyart. Now, Enyart, that's my last name, Bob Enyart. I pastor Denver Bible Church in Colorado, and the phone number is 800-8 Enyart. And people say, what's the good of that as a phone number? Because nobody knows how to spell that. So you think you have a hard time spelling it? I have to pronounce it. Sometimes I try to say my name, Enyart. What's your name? Bob Enyart. What's your name? Bob Enyart. 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 E-N-Y-A-R-T. Bob Enyart. There you go. And so the phone number, 800-8 Enyart. You could go online to enyart.com, and you find our show, Bob Enyart Live, and our website, kgov.com. It's like a little radio station on the internet. And so the phone number works out, if you're going to dial it, 800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. Okay. So we got a call from someone in Iowa, and he was somewhat disagreeing with a comment I made. I was doing a story earlier, news story from the Associated Press from New Jersey, about the teacher at an elementary school, Eagleswood Elementary School, named Mr. Macbeth, who had a sex change operation, and he's now Miss Macbeth or Lady Macbeth. And it's just so terrible that the public school officials there, the administration, the Board of Education, they are allowing Lady Macbeth to return to this elementary school as a teacher, even though that there are parents who are outraged, saying they are appalled that their children will have to deal with this issue. And you know what? This is one of the best things that could have happened to the parents at Eagleswood Elementary School. You know why? Because perhaps until now they were under the false impression, false confidence, that this school was a safe place for their children. But now it turns out that, hey, they'll take this Lady Macbeth sex change operation, and they don't care what that does to the psyche, the minds of these kids, and confusing them at such an early age about something as simple as male and female, of all things. Male and female. You think there's only liberals can only go so far with their stupidity or their wickedness? They don't understand male and female. They don't even get that. And they want to confuse these kids, and they think it would be a good thing for these kids to see homosexuality and the blurring of the gender distinction. It'd be a good thing for these kids to deal with that early, because they might want to experiment being lesbians and homosexuals when they maybe get to 6th or 7th grade or 8th grade. Like Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains distributing flyers at a local festival we had here in Arvada a few years back. And the flyers, they're giving it to kids, students. The one says, I think I might be a lesbian. Now what do I do? A brochure for young girls. And the other said, I think I might be gay. Now what do I do? A brochure for young boys. And these brochures, I won't do it now because it's disgusting to quote from them, but they specifically told girls, they said, if you're afraid, if you've never been with a girl before, it's okay. That's understandable. But try doing this. And they gave them specific ideas of what to do sexually with another girl to explore their possible lesbian preferences. It's just, of course, despicable. So anyway, I was talking about that story, and somebody called in and said, hey, you shouldn't suggest that being a eunuch, having an operation, you know, eunuchs, especially in the ancient world, there were cultures, not Israel, but other cultures, where they would take men and they would castrate them and they became eunuchs. And then kings would put the eunuchs in charge of their harem. They'd put them in charge of their treasury. And eunuchs became sort of trusted servants of monarchs and emperors. And then what happened? Now, Israel, they didn't do that. They didn't castrate men in Israel. and have them serve the king. Now, they interacted with some eunuchs from Babylon or other cultures, but they didn't castrate men. In fact, it was considered sinful because in the Bible, God says, don't mutilate your body. Don't do that. I want you to circumcise for this symbolic reason as a sign of my covenant, but don't mutilate your body. And so the Jews didn't do that, but the term eunuch became a figure of speech, and it would mean an officer or a trusted advisor, so that there were eunuchs who were actually eunuchs, and then there were eunuchs who were not eunuchs at all. It was like a title. You know how titles change over time. Words take on new meanings. And so if you see a eunuch in Israel's army in the Old Testament as an officer, he wasn't a physical eunuch. That became a figure of speech for a trusted officer. And then Jesus in the New Testament, recall this, and this is where this caller, this is, I guess, what's motivating him. He thinks, hey, it's good to be a eunuch. It's good to be castrated because he's misunderstanding Jesus, the Lord, in Matthew 19, verse 12. Jesus said there are eunuchs who were born thus. Wait a minute, I'm going to read a Bible verse. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so the Lord said in Matthew 19, there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. In other words, a birth defect. Some people are born without a limb, and it's possible to have a birth defect, and a man's genitals could be damaged congenitally. And so Jesus said there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, that doesn't mean by mutilation, but it means by living a celibate life. There are people to whom they have the gift of celibacy. They have that gift. They could be completely content and single. Most people, the way God made us, most people desire to be married. And it's good to be married, and marriage is crucial. It's crucial for the security of a nation and for the health of an individual. Paul said, it's better to marry than to burn with lust. So God made us to be complete in marriage. Those who are made for marriage, others can be single. And so Jesus is saying, look, there are some people who dedicate themselves to ministry and choose to live a celibate life. He was not talking about people who mutilate their bodies, which is something God explicitly commanded that the Jews should not do. In fact, God used that as a symbolic ordinance in Deuteronomy chapter 23. God said, if a man is emasculated, he should not enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, that didn't mean he was sinful. You know, if he was emasculated by an accident, by crushing or mutilation, maybe when he was a child, he shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. The point, that's symbolic. There are many symbolic ordinances in the Old Testament, like a priest cannot be blind. Why can't you have a blind priest? Because in Jesus, the blind will see. And there's no lame priest. The priest cannot be paralyzed. Why not? Because in Jesus, the lame walk. And the priests were symbols of Jesus Christ. So the priest could not tear his clothes. Why not? Well, the Lord's robe would not be torn. And the priest could not have a broken hand or a broken foot, the Bible says. Why not? Because the Lord's hands and feet were pierced, but none of his bones were broken. The priest could not marry a woman who had been a prostitute. Why not? Because don't join Christ to a harlot. No divorcees or widows the high priest could not marry. Why couldn't the high priest marry a widow? Because the bride of Christ is a virgin. And no eunuchs. The priest, if you were a eunuch, you couldn't be a priest. Why not? This is all from the Old Testament, right? The Mosaic Law, the Levitical Law for the priesthood of Aaron, the Aaronite priesthood. No eunuch could be a priest because why? Christians should multiply. If you had a defective eye, you couldn't be a priest. Why not? Because Jesus heals our eyes. Remember Revelation 3? And a priest had to cover his head. Why? Because Jesus is the head. And a priest is always in the sanctuary. Why? Because Jesus ever lives to make intercession. A priest could not touch the dead. Why? Because Jesus gives victory from death. So when the Old Testament says a man who's emasculated cannot enter the assembly of the Lord, that doesn't mean he's evil or sinful. Might have happened by an accident or as a child. It might not have had to do with any sin. But symbolically, a eunuch could not be a priest. God said a man who's emasculated should not enter the assembly of the Lord. So for our caller from Iowa, I appreciate your call. It would have been great. Feel free to call in and come on the show sometime. But no, Jesus was not saying that men should become eunuchs to serve the kingdom of heaven. No, that was a figure of speech, those who live a celibate life. Okay, what else? How much time do we have? Only a little bit of time left. What else do we have? Oh, the Arkansas clinic, when Joe Scheidler was trying to figure out the states. That's right. He said where there was only one abortion clinic, North Dakota, South Dakota, Mississippi, and he was not sure if it was Arkansas. And you know what? We remembered here. It was Arkansas because we went there when the Clinton Library opened up. That's when Bob and Yurt Live, we took about 30-some people down there, and we protested for the week that Clinton's library was opening, and we flooded Little Rock and the state of Arkansas with the truth and the evidence that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. It was very powerful. And while we were there, we led a protest at the Little Rock Family Planning Service, which we recall now is the only abortion clinic in Arkansas. So four states with one abortion clinic, and the goal, of course, is to make America safe for children and then the world. So that's what Bob and Yurt Live is all about. We tend to expose the liberal and the conservative, and our goal is to move the world to the right. I was at a coffee shop the other day, and the gal behind the counter, she said, "So what are you doing this weekend?" And I said, "We're trying to take over the world." And she got such a chuckle. "How are you doing that?" "Oh, at our website, kgov.com, kgov.com. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we teach men that the Bible and the principles of the Lord should inform our public policy and our laws and our government." It's a lot of fun. Hey, we're out of time. Remember our phone number, 800-8-NYART, and you could go online to that website and check out our God and the Death Penalty video. Our best-selling video is called Focus on the Strategy on Christian Political Strategy. It's really cool. So I think you'll want to check that out. And we're about out of time, right? We're about out of time. And so we're going to end this. I'm going to say goodbye to all of you and encourage you, if you can, tune in tomorrow. Tell your friends about Bob and Yurt Live and check us out on the internet at KGOV.com. God bless you all.